The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live, and today's date, for those who are inquiring, today's date is, April 26, 2026. If you want, you can give me a call. It's easy. All you have to do is dial 877-207-2276, and you can get in here and give me a call. We don't have anybody waiting right now. If you would like, you can also email me, and that's easy to do. Just direct an email to info@carm.org, info@carm.org, and put in the subject line radio comment or radio question, and that should, you know, that'll do it. Clubhouse should be working. Yeah, I just let's see if you can hear me in there. There we go. Everything should be working. All right, and we're on Rumble. Okay, just checking. You know, a lot of things that go out here. Sometimes people will say, hey, it's not working over here or there. And I guess it is good. All right, so if you're new to the show, Matt Slick is my real name. And really, it is. Slick is my last name. And so anyway, it works out great for radio, Matt Slick Live. And I answer questions on theology, the Bible, Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, Christian theology, Protestantism, a little bit of history, biblical theology, Trinity, hypostatic union, communicatio idiomatum, inseparable operations, economic and ontological Trinity, justification, imputation, sanctification, Bible programs, parables, things like that. We could talk atheism, evolution, science, and philosophy. I love talking about all those things. So that's what we do. That's what our world, like, people call up and they ask questions. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll take their question and put it on a list. And sometimes they're really good questions. And I'll ask myself, okay, how do I answer this? How do we answer that? And go through and do some answering. And that's what I'll do. So if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Real easy to do. All right, let's get to Jason from Arizona. Jason, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Thank you. I've been calling, sure, and we've been discussing Reformed theology, and you've been helping me a lot with that. And today, I just wanted to go over 1 Corinthians 2:14, since you've really been cementing Reformed theology in my mind. So the natural man, the unregenerate man, he cannot accept or receive the things from the Spirit of God. So if I'm understanding correctly, he has to be regenerated first before he believes the gospel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a powerful Reformed theology verse then. Do you agree? Or?
Yes, it is. What helps is to understand the issue of what we say regeneration precedes faith. We don't mean it temporally. We mean it logically. So I can explain that if you don't know. You want me to?
Oh, absolutely. I soak up everything you're teaching on Reformed stuff. So,
okay. Well, so I use the illustration of a light bulb. And let's say you flip a switch in a light bulb. Electricity goes into the light bulb. And 5 seconds later, there's light. Let's just use that as an analogy. That would mean then that temporally speaking, the electricity precedes the light, in this case, by 5 seconds. And you know, that sometimes happens. You click a neon light on, it flickers, and then it comes on. So there's a temporal priority. Electricity precedes the light by, you know, in this case, 5 seconds. All right. However, that's not how it is in Reformed theology. In Reformed theology, it's not temporal priority, it's logical priority. What that means is, so we take the light bulb, we flip the switch, electricity is in the light bulb, and at the same time, light comes on, because they're simultaneous. However, it's the electricity that causes the light, not the light that causes the electricity, so therefore the electricity is logically prior. It must be there in order for the other thing to occur, but they occur simultaneously. Make sense?
Yes, that's a great explanation, and that does make sense. And while you were saying that, I was thinking of Romans 8:8, where Paul says that basically the unregenerate, I'm drawing a blank right now, but if
they can't please God.
They cannot please God in the flesh. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot please God in the flesh. So they cannot, in an unregenerate state, believe
of their own free will, yeah. Of their own sinfully enslaved free will. It's a misnomer of how people define free will in churches today. They define it with humanist philosophy. They don't define it biblically. It's very true. Okay.
Amen. Those are 1 Corinthians 2:14 and Romans 8:8 are like Reformed text proofs of you must be regenerated before you can accept the gospel and believe and please yes. the Lord with your, you know, so.
Yes, and what we say is that we actually do the believing, but God grants we believe,
yes.
Philippians 1:29, but we do the believing, but it's that he regenerates us, and that results in our believing, and we freely do. That's what we teach. So we don't say that God doesn't, we don't say that we don't have free will. We do have free will. Free will is the ability to make a choice that's not forced on you, that's consistent with your nature, your essence, what it is, and that's it. And so we affirm that. Everybody in Reformed theology affirms that. So
amen.
Jesus had free will. And yet he could only do what the Father told him to do. You know, John 5:19, John 5:30. He could only do what the Father sent him to do. But yet he had free will. So free will and God's predestination work hand in hand because Jesus is the proof. He's the proof right there. So
what was amazing was you had a video I watched on the 5 points of Calvinism, and when you were talking about 1 John 5:1, that the way the Greek actually reads is that anyone who believes Jesus is the Christ has been born of God already. So at any point, if someone says, Eureka, I believe Christ is the Son of God, well, that's only because they've first been regenerated. And when you taught that, that was powerful proof of Reformed theology again.
Well, yes. And, you know, with the Bible, even the NASB that I like, I don't think translates it properly. It does say in 1 John 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, it says, is born of God. But it's a perfect passive indicative in the Greek. Perfect tense is, I have walked, which means I have walked, not I had walked. I have walked is perfect tense. It means the action is in the past, and it's not designated as having been stopped in the past. It has the possibility, probability of occurring now. I have walked doesn't mean you're stopped walking. But I had walked means I was walking in the past and I stopped in the past. So the perfect tense means that it's a past action with continued on effect now. So you have, and it's, so then it'll be passive, which means you've received the action. That's what it means. An indicative means it's a statement of fact. So it's a perfect passive indicative, third person singular. That's what we have to do in Greek. We have to talk like that. You know, the professor will go, okay, parse this one, Matt. Panic. You know, perfect passive indicative, third person singular. And you do it by looking at the Greek word. And in this case, it's gegentai. So what is that? Well, you know, you go and you learn these rules. You learn this stuff. So anyway. So it's perfect passive indicative. Perfect means past tense, continued action in the present. And passive means you receive the action. Indicative means it's a fact. So that's what it says. You have been. That's what the best translation is.
Just my opinion on what I believe Reformed theology really shows is that it shows man's incapacities, what he's not able to do. And what I think Arminian doctrine is they think man is capable of all these things that the scripture says we're incapable of.
That's right. You are absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct.
So anyway, well, I'll let someone else join on the phone, but thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah, I love talking about this stuff. I know it pretty well. Been defending it for over 30 years, since 91, actually, when I graduated from seminary. And I became a five-pointer shortly after graduation. And so at 24, I've been doing it 33 years now, defending it. I'm not saying I got everything down, I know everything right, but I've debated it 1,000 times. And so I know what the arguments are against. Let me tell you, you're way ahead. And let me say this. Reformed theology isn't the cure for everything, but if people hold a Reformed theology, you're far less likely to fall into a lot of heresies that are prominent in the Protestant church. You won't become man-centered, you become God-centered. You'll recognize your own depravity and that you need to depend on God. You recognize that when things happen in your life that seemingly are bad, that God somehow is behind them. Not that he's causing evil, but that within his sovereignty, he is allowing, and there's a reason for it, and though he may not know, we can trust him through it. Just like when you know, my wife and I lost a son. We had to go bankrupt once. We've had threats to us in our lives. We've had things happen, and I was swatted. You know, we have things happen, and this is the kind of stuff you have to go through, and sometimes God doesn't give you the reasons. But in Reformed theology, you know it's not by chance. It's not because God, I didn't really want that, but okay. It's not like that. And so Reformed theology puts you 50 steps ahead of the Arminians. And I know it's a bold statement, but if Arminians want to call up and challenge me on that, that's fine. But that's my opinion. And I think the incapacities of man,
you know.
Yes.
The Reformed people accept, you know, you cannot come to Christ unless it's granted to you. You cannot believe unless faith is granted unto you. You cannot be regenerated unless God regenerates you. If you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. Cannot, over and over and over what you cannot do. And then you talk to most Christians and they think they can do all those things. It's just like, well, at the end of the day, I'm either going to believe the written word of God, which gives incapacities of man, or I'm going to believe your opinion that your grandma or your grandpa told you. I just have to go with the Bible.
You're a smart and wise man because you're submitting to the word of God. And in this journey, you're recognizing you weren't wise enough to save yourself. You weren't wise enough to pick Christ. He was merciful enough to consider you and gave you that faith and granted it to you. And it's humbling, and it's also freeing. And you also know that your salvation doesn't depend on your goodness. It's on God's goodness, and he's never going to leave you.
And it gives us an awe, like a fear of God in a healthy way. Like, if he had not had mercy, it's a scary predicament. You realize you're so codependent on the Lord. And I just realize I'm so dependent on him for breath and everything. It's just there's an awe when you realize, when you accept the incapacities, and we do as Reformed, you realize, by the grace of God, do I go another day?
What you're doing, you don't even realize it, is you are speaking like many of the the Presbyterian divines wrote. They wrote the same thing you're speaking of, except better. They're just so awesome from the 400
years ago.
Thank
you. Take care, Matt. Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right, brother. God bless, man. Keep studying. All right. Keep calling, too. All right. Hey, folks, we're out of time on this segment of the air and on the hour. If you want to give me a call, well, do that, and we'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get on the air with John from Georgia. Welcome, John. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing today?
Oh, hanging in there. Hanging in there, man. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Suddenly your voice is really distant. Are you there? Hello?
Hello?
I can hear you. A lot of road noise, but what do you got? We got some problem there. Maybe you can call back. Yeah, we did. He'll have to. We just lost him. That's all right. Hey, we'll call back and we'll get to him. Let's see. Okay. Looking at some of the stuff in the chat, the text. I just want to tell you guys, and we got a caller coming in, that we stay on the air by your support. If you if you like what you hear, even if you don't, maybe you could support us. If you want me to continue to be able to speak on the air, I just ask that you would send $5 in, or sign up for $5, $10 a month on the CARM website. It's easy to do. It's CARM.org, CARM.org/donate, and everything you need's right there. And I've called recently, and I've called and left messages. I don't like leaving messages. I want to talk to people and say thank you. There's some people who have, who I believe are listening on the radio, and have sent in enough money to really help us and really save us. And it happens like that a lot, where my wife, because she knows the finances too with the ministry, and I'll say, yeah, how we're doing? She goes, not good. No, we're not, but God will provide. And he does. He always does. And it's just how it's been for years. So I just want to say thank you to those of you who listen, and you know who you are, who have sent in some checks that have really helped us. And I just want to say thank you. And if you ever want, just, call me sometime. We can talk. But what I try and do is call people on the phone and just say thanks and talk to them for a little bit and stuff like that. I enjoy doing that. So, and there you go. Hey, look, there's a preacher, Jeff, gave a $5 rant. It's called a rant. I don't know why, but it's called a rant in Rumble. So it's a little $5 donation to the ministry and to the work. And we collect it, and it just goes into the pot. Of the CARN ministry. We use it to pay bills, and we use it to keep the lights on, and we use it to employ the missionaries all over the world. We have two in Africa. We have one in Turkey, one in Brazil, and one in Colombia. And they're doing great work. We got feet on the ground in those countries, going out preaching and teaching and doing all kinds of good stuff. We have websites there as well. We have two. One in Portuguese for Brazil, and one in Spanish out of Colombia. And when our guy, I think he graduates this summer in Turkey, he wants to then dedicate full-time to this ministry. And we'll see if that's still in the works, because I told him, his English is fantastic, and I said, look, we're here to support you, and even if you don't work with us when you're done, then, I understand. If God calls you someplace else, that's fine. We're not in it for the glory. We're not in it for what we can get. We're in it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I told him that. And we'll see what happens. We'll just see what happens. But we do stay on the air by your support. So please consider supporting us. And definitely, please pray for us. We definitely need that. Let's get to Cheryl from North Carolina. Cheryl, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I hear a lot of ministers, preachers, that say that Jesus fed 5,000 with two fish and five loaves,
yes,
using a boy's lunch. I cannot find anywhere in Scripture that it says that it is his lunch.
Interesting. Let's see. Bible, Jesus fed 5,000. Let me see if I can find those references. So we have it in Matthew. Let's see. Let's go over here. Matthew 14. And there we go. Fed to 5,000. So a large crowd encompassed. And they have nowhere to go. Bring them here. We have five loaves and two fish. In order to sit down on the grass, which is interesting, sit down on the grass in Psalm 23, you do make me lie down in green pastures. So anyway, I'm looking there. I don't see anything in there. So let me go to another place in Scripture which probably talks about it, because sometimes it'll have one word that will make a difference. Let's see.
And okay.
So I'm scanning. I'm scanning. I wish I'd had the answer to you already. But I don't.
Yeah.
In Mark, it actually says he had him lie down on green grass, just like it says out of Psalm 23. a place of desolate and something to eat, and commanded to sit down on the green grass. So I don't know. I'm not seeing it yet. Doesn't mean it's not there.
When I did a Google
borrow from
search,
a lunch, wait, John 6:9. Let me go to John 6:9. I was going to get there. Let's see.
Okay.
It says there's a lad here who has five barley loaves and two fish. But what? Now we're getting feedback. Feedback's weird. A lad, five barley loaves and two fish, but there are those. What the heck? All of a sudden, I just started feedback there. I don't know if you can hear it. Anyway, so the word lad is paideron, and it means a boy, a little boy, a lad. So it's right there in John 6:9. I think that was Charlie put that in. I'm not sure who did, but thank you. So you can say it's lunch. I'd say, well, it was from a lad, a young boy who had it. So you say, that's good enough.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I don't see where it says lunch, because
exactly
a lot of ministers, even on TV, the very familiar ministers, very popular, say lunch. I don't see lunch. And when I did a Google search, it asked, why would a boy have that much food for his lunch?
Yeah.
I find that nowhere in Scripture that it was his lunch, his actual lunch.
I agree with you. It doesn't say lunch. That's not what I'm seeing.
Mm-mm.
So maybe if someone else has some information and don't know about that, you know, open to check it out. So, wait a second, borrowed from a boy's lunch. Christ led the mass, John 6:9. But that's what I'm looking at right now, John 6:9. There's a lad who had five barley loaves, two fish. But what are these for so many people? And he sat down. There's no much, you know, and that's it. That's all it says. So no lunch.
I wouldn't say lunch.
Maybe he was carrying them for other people. Five barley loaves and two fish. That's a lot. It's a lot of food.
And I'm just so surprised. I'm surprised that ministers, even the TV ministers, say his lunch. And I mean, I don't know why they keep saying that. And of all people that you study from and sit under and listen to for years and years and years, why they would say lunch, because there's nowhere in Scripture. So I just wanted to ask that question.
Yeah, they don't. That's right. They say it because they hear each other say it, and they don't check the text a lot of times. And so, and I'm not surprised they say it, because many preachers will say things that are not just found in Scripture. But good for you. You
yeah,
caught that.
You're right.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank
good
you.
For you, Cheryl. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got a break coming
thank
up.
Thank you so much. Thank you
all
for
right.
your help.
Okay, God bless. Thank you. Hey, we have wide open lines, folks, if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, please do. We have nobody waiting right now. 877-207-2276. And so sometimes on Fridays, trying to focus on hate mail, and I don't even know if we have any hate mail left. I see two sitting in there, oh my goodness. Oh, this is a good one. Oh man. Woo. I'm going to read this one, cuz it's a little wacko mail and hate mail put together. I don't know if I've read this one already. So I'm going to read this cuz it's pretty good and I like doing this. So this is what someone says here. You lose, Matt. That's a good way to start off. It's not like, hello, I've got a gripe with you on something. No, it's you lose, Matt, and your attempt to justify your innermost problems. I always crack up when I read stuff like this, because I didn't know I was trying to justify my innermost problems. That's news to me. You know, I like it when people reveal to me my innermost thoughts. I think it's useful and helpful. It's really polite of them and considerate of them to take the time out to email me about my innermost problems that I have that I didn't even know I had. And that's what's motivating me, and they get to let me know. So I do appreciate that. Thank you for those who are listening on that. So your attempt to justify your innermost problems with your Twisted Ministry, sounds like a punk band, Twisted Ministry, is gone. So I didn't know that. It's gone. Wow. So, interesting. My ministry's twisted? Well, how is it twisted? You know, if someone said, my ministry, you know, call me up, your ministry's twisted, I'd say, okay, well, what does it mean? A double knot twist? What? What is it? And I, you know, it's always like when they say stuff like that, I get to ask them. You know, it's good. Now, shut down CARM. Oh, wow, check this out. Shut down CARM or be arrested by the FBI and sentenced to prison. This is actually in an email. It's actually in an email. So now, this is what's really good. I lose, and I'm trying to justify my innermost problems with a twisted website, CARM, and that if I don't take it down, the FBI is going to arrest me, and I'm going to prison. Now, that's pretty good. I mean, that's a pretty good one. That's three sentences. It's got to be written by a guy because it's to the point and it's efficient. See, not a lot of inane persiflage. You know, you get it. Well, what's he saying? You know, what's the point? No, it starts off really brilliantly. You lose, Matt. And there's even a comma after the word lose. You lose, comma, Matt. It's proper. It's good. And then your attempt to justify your innermost problems with your twisted ministry is gone. It's a good sentence. There's no punctuation errors, no spelling errors. No, now shut down CARM or be arrested by the FBI and sentenced to prison. Another well-structured sentence. I don't see any problems grammatically with it. And the punctuation is pretty good. Let's go on to the second sentence. All right. If you think I'm going to fall for your sick games, I don't know what that means, a sick game. What's a sick game? You know, get a temperature? You know? I don't know. What is a sick game? Anyway, I turned you into the Department of Defense? Whoa, saying you are a threat to national security. Wow, and how am I a threat to national security? Talking about Jesus on the Bible? Well, maybe in 10 years, with the way things are going and the left is getting control and making things intolerable for the conservative, maybe then I'll be arrested for something. I don't know. That's pretty good. If you think I'm going to fall for your sick gains, I turned you in. Now, that's a logical problem because if you think I turned you in, it's not, it doesn't follow logically. If you think I'm going to, it should be, you're wrong, I won't. In light of this, I turned you in. That's how it should be structured. So he blew it, the second sentence, the structure there. He said, I turned you into the Department of Defense, saying you're a threat to national security. I could just picture him sending him an email or, you know, calling him up. Yeah, well, I want to talk to you about a guy named Matt Slick. He's on the radio, and he's a threat to national security. And they say, and how so? Well, he's on the radio talking about Jesus, and what else? They're saying Islam's not good, and the Catholic Church is false, and he's a threat to national security. And I can hear them say, and what's your address? We'll send somebody out to talk to you. Who knows? So anyway, you see, hey, it's fun on Fridays. Friday fun with hate mail. All right, let's get on the air with Paul from Virginia. Hey, Paul, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, having fun with hate mail. That's all I'm doing, enjoying it.
Yes, I heard that. So I haven't talked to you in quite some time. And
okay.
Quite a long time ago, I told you about a book called COVID-19 and the Global Predators. We Are the Prey by Dr. Peter Breggin. It has introductions in it by Dr. Peter McAuliffe and Dr. Elizabeth Villette and also Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, who has since passed away due to cancer. But I wondered if you ever got a minute to peruse or look through that book.
You know, I'm opening up my Kindle, do everything on Kindle, and it's taking a while to open. And then I can go to the book and see if I have anything highlighted. Then that's how I can tell you if I have or haven't, because I'm always so busy reading a lot of stuff that I jump from book to book that sometimes I just forget. I've actually gone in Kindle and go, oh, I got to read this book. And I realized I read half of it. Hey, look, it's highlighted. I've already highlighted it. So that happens. And, okay, now it opened up. So hold on. Let me see. Here we go. The truth about it. Okay, and I'm opening it up. And what page am I on? Oh, I'm page 99. Oh, yeah, I've highlighted it. Highlighted a lot of it. Uh-huh. How about that?
Oh, so you have had a chance to to look at it then. So
yeah, I'm on page 99 of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to talk about that for a minute. There is another website called React, R-E-A-C-T, .org, React19.org, and RealNotRare.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many people that share their stories there of being injured, disabled, or in some cases, family members have written in for the deceased relative who took these shots.
Yep.
And I'm a person that's been severely injured. I'm still really? Under treatment 2.5 years later because, unfortunately, I believed what they said in the beginning. And I don't quite understand, even though I know there's corruption and greed and politics, exactly how they are getting away with this. One person that is on this same station, Charles Chrismeyer, who is also an author, he was a former attorney and then teacher and then became an evangelist and has written several books. I was able to listen to his program about a month or so ago, and he talked about this subject for the whole hour. I missed half of it, but ironically or miraculously, I was able to get him on the phone right after that.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, one of the people from Washington, Chip Roy from Texas, is trying to get legislation introduced in Congress to where it would at least be some civil liability for this situation. Where that is now, I don't know, but I just wanted to.
Well, do you have a question, though? Because I did check the book.
Well,
and so I need to read a lot more. I got so many books I'm reading. You know, I have almost 600 books in Kindle, whatever I'm going through, but yeah. You know. I'm a busy
basically,
guy.
I just wanted to call in and mention that again, and now I know you've read parts of it, and I just wish that I don't really have a question. I just wanted to speak with you because I haven't done so in a long time and raise awareness of this because there are literally, according to Dr. McCullough, 17 million people around the world have been killed by these shots.
Wow, I wouldn't be surprised. Just for correction, I haven't read that far in the book. That's where it opened to. My highlights don't go that far, but I did read it, or a lot of it, or some of it, I should say. Okay, but yeah, it's a big thing, and I wrote a lot on COVID. I wrote a lot of articles too. I did a lot of research, and when this subject comes up, generally YouTube will ban me just for talking about
it.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll see if they do. And I haven't even said anything. You're the one saying stuff. You're giving names and books and dates and stuff like that. And a lot of times for YouTube, you're not supposed to do that. You can't even do that. And they just ban you. And we'll go into the pig pen for a while. So that's what happens.
Yes, and we'll along that same line, real quickly, I asked Mr. Chrismeyer, why is the media not saying anything about all of this, the mainstream media? And he said because they're all in it together.
Yeah, they're all in it together. That's right.
Yeah.
The leftist media. Yeah, and what I recommend people do is go check out the goals. Let's see, I have it on CARM. The goals of the Communist Party. And look it up. And go to my website, and you'll see what they've wanted to do. It's an official document that the communists released about destroying America during control. And that's what's going on. You can read that. Hey, we got to go. Okay, buddy?
Yeah.
Talk to you later, man.
All right, thank you.
Okay, there's a break. May the Lord bless you. Be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Ed from Virginia. Ed, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Hanging in there, man. Hanging in there. So what do you got, big guy?
I get to get my slick fix again tonight. I'm out delivering.
Good for you.
Question.
Smart man.
My understanding that... In the New Testament, the Greek word for Lord Kyrios is equal to the Septuagint Yahweh. Is that correct?
Yes and no. It's used in part to replace the word Yahweh, Kyrios, which means Lord, but it can be used in other contexts. It's not just a one-to-one equivalent. Okay.
Okay. So what is the word in the Old Testament for I am? And then Jesus said before
Yahweh.
Abraham was I am. It's just that's Yahweh.
Yahweh.
So what is it
the
Tetragrammaton. In the Greek?
That would be I am is literally ego eimi. I am. That's how they say it. Ego eimi. Okay. All right.
Okay, but it's equal to Yahweh.
Nope. Well, yes. Kind of. You see, when Jesus says, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins, he's not claiming the divine name per se. He's using it in a context. And he says in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. Now that is more of a strong statement of his deity, where he's claiming about himself, and they want to kill him for that. But for example, if you go to, Psalm 116:4, it says they called upon the name of Yahweh. Call upon the name of Yahweh, O Yahweh, I beseech you, save my life. So that phrase is translated into the Greek, call upon the name of the Lord, HaKurios. So in that context, Kurios is equivalent to the name of God, I am. But the word occurs in different contexts. It said, so for example, in, Matthew 8:2. A man came to him and said to Jesus, you know, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Well, he's not calling him Yahweh at this point. He's just calling him the master, a teacher, and the word is used that way. Okay?
Okay.
And it's used as the word sir.
In terms of,
Yeah,
I'm just thinking in terms of, like, witnessing to Mormons. One Mormon tried to dupe me the other morning, and he was like, I asked, do you believe Jesus is God? Yes. So he's God, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I've never heard a Mormon tell me he believes Jesus is God, but he didn't tell me.
Of course they'd say that.
A God.
Now you understand how they think. They're taught to say he's God, but they are taught to say that just God means one of the gods, so he's God. Yeah, that's all. They're not taught to think critically at all. Through this. So you have to see, tell people, if you want to talk to Mormons, you have to speak in terms of definitions. You have to say something. Do you believe that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity? The Trinity being one God, not three gods, but one God in three distinct simultaneous persons. That's how you have to talk to them. And you have to use affirmations as well as negations. That there's only one God and none other in all existence. Okay, that kind of a thing you got to talk to them. Okay?
Right. Gotcha.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate my slick fix tonight, so I can get off work in a few minutes and enjoy the evening.
You too, man. God bless. All right.
God bless.
All right. Let's get to, Jamal from North Carolina. Jamal, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Mr. Slick. Always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
Let's see. Yeah. Always enjoy your show. Had a question, probably a softball for you. Where do the names of the books of the Bible come from?
I don't know. The early church.
Oh, no.
The early church just designated them. I don't know the exact steps. So the early church knew that Matthew wrote Matthew, Luke wrote Luke, etc., and they just assigned the names of the authors to them, even though those names are not included in the text, which was a common way of address back then. They wouldn't often put their name in it. Paul did, you know, he said, see how what big letters I write, you know, in this one epistle, he put his own name in there. But normally it didn't really do that, and so it's just the custom, and so the tradition was, and the church knew, and the people knew, yeah, it's from him, that's who wrote it, and then that's how they knew. It's just passed down. That's the basic answer. Okay.
All right. Just a follow-up, see if you can help me out with this. So the book of Acts and like Leviticus, what about those books? Do you know about them?
The book of Acts and Leviticus? Yes, I know about them. Yep. Okay. So what about them?
Well, where those names originated from?
Oh. I think it's a big Acts. That's interesting. The Acts of the Apostles. I don't know where that originated from. I don't know who designated it first that way, or why the Jews called Leviticus Leviticus. They called Exodus Exodus because it's leaving. It's the Exodus. Genesis basically deals with beginnings. So it's a good question. I don't know what who or how or what the original names were derived from. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, you got time for a completely different follow-up then?
Yeah, I got nobody else waiting, so you're it, man. Go ahead.
Oh, nice. Hopefully you don't regret it.
Okay, we'll see.
Moses denied entry to the Promised Land. How was he denied? Yes. Was he just given some kind of physical ailment to prevent him from going? Was there some kind of barrier? I know this sounds silly, but you know, I heard that
doesn't
today,
say.
I was wondering what prevented him from going.
Yeah, it doesn't say what the actual thing was that prevented him, but he was prevented. And I don't know if there was like, you know, like a chain to his ankle. It's nothing like that. He just was not allowed to go. God said you can't go in, so he didn't. And you know why he was prevented? If the reason was, incidentally.
Let me take a stab at it. Of course, you can correct me because he acted out of anger and hit the rock with his staff.
He hit it how many times?
Twice, dos señor.
Twice. How many times was Jesus struck? Not individual slaps. The whole issue of the cross once. Crucified once. The rock that followed them was Christ, 1 Corinthians 10:4. And so the issue here is that the striking of the rock, water comes out, the blood, you know, he's living water. It's all symbolic of Christ. And so he struck it once, because God says once, because that's it. Mean one time that Christ is struck. I mean, the whole of his ordeal of crucifixion. It's a one-time event. And Moses did it twice, and so you're in trouble. Because it's eschatological, it's Christological. Okay?
That's amazing. And then when he was stabbed, well, Jesus was stabbed in the side, blood and water came out.
And you know why? You know why that's the case?
From a spiritual standpoint or a medical standpoint?
Medical. Try medical.
Okay. Because something with the heart pumping in the blood and the water didn't get through or something like that. That was my stab at it. No pun intended.
Oh, man. Well, when you die, see, what happened was Jesus was on the cross and he has holes in his wrists, not his palms, but his wrists and his feet and his back had been ripped open, probably was able to see the ribs, some of his ribs. He was bad shape. And in order to breathe, he had to push up on the nails on his feet to take a breath because of the condition of how his arms are stretched out and the condition and positioning. So the body, the blood's draining out, and in order to compensate, the heart will just beat faster and faster because it needs oxygen. It wants to provide oxygen to the body because it's being depleted of oxygen because there's less blood to carry the O2 in the hemoglobin. So it beats faster and faster and faster until it ruptures. It explodes. It just breaks. It ruptures, and it's gone. They're done. And at that point, the blood circulation ceases. And then the blood settles in the cavities of the body. And I read a medical thing about why that occurs there. I forgot what it is. And it separates. And so they knew where to stab someone to see if in that area the cavity it was filling up with blood and water, because it meant it was no longer circulating, which meant he's dead.
Wow.
Okay.
I never knew that.
That's what's going on. Yeah.
These guys in ancient times, they were no dummies. I know we look down on them a lot, but they had some form of intelligence, morality and spirituality, you know, a little different. But there was a lot of intelligence back in those days.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing. They're crucifying. They understood it because it was a common thing throughout the empire, the Roman Empire, to crucify people. So what are you going to do? When you do it all the time. And you have experts teaching it. This is what's going to happen. You know, you break their legs. Because if you break their legs, then they can't push up in order to breathe. They're going to die right away. They're going to suffocate.
What?
Can't take a breath. So they came to Jesus to break his legs, but he is already gone. He'd already died. And so all this is from the issue there of of the crucifixion ordeal. It's all natural to it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Back to Moses. Almost forgot this question. Mm-hmm. And by the way, guys, I'm not making light of the crucifixion. I watched Passion of the Christ. I can only watch it once. It was a rough movie. I have nothing but the highest regard for Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. It's just, you know, sometimes, you know, me and Matt Slick have a good banter going back. That's all. You know, utmost respect for Jesus. So, hey, thank you. Amen as well. So, Moses, he did make it to heaven, though, eventually, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was called by God. He's a prophet. And he went to, there's nothing to say that he didn't go to heaven. There's nothing spoken against him at all in Scripture. So, in that sense. So, he went to heaven, be with the Lord. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what you say.
Good. Thank goodness. All right. Yeah. Good to know.
In fact, you know what else is, else is interesting? Check this out. He didn't circumcise his son. But that's part of the law. Supposed to do that. Oh, yeah. And so, the angel of God was coming to kill him. He's going to kill him. Kill Moses for this, for breaking the covenant requirement. Zipporah, his wife, circumcised the son and threw the foreskin at his feet. It was a strong rebuke against him. Oh, yeah. And that's when the angel of the Lord said, okay, and let him go. Now, it does not say that the foreskin touched his feet. It says threw it at his feet. So it's certainly possible it did. The shed blood touched him and he was saved, if it touched him. That would be representative of the atonement, because circumcision represents ultimately the shedding of blood in the maleness part thing that represents the descendants, and this deals with federal headship and ultimately deals with the atoning work of Christ. Yeah, a lot of stuff there.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. My goodness. Yeah, you can't get tired of the Bible. I mean, from a cultural standpoint, just reading the scripture, solo scriptura, right? You can't get enough of it, or you shouldn't.
That's right.
I'm trying to get deeper with it, and, you know, listening to your show is really, really helped me out a lot. I know some folks want to say, well,
there's the music, man.
Rough. I'm like, oh, okay, all right.
Try not to be.
Thank you for your answers, and God bless.
But now I want to know what you're hearing they're saying. So now I'm curious, but we're out of time. So email me or call me next week and let me know. All right, Jamal.
All right,
we got to go.
Bye.
All right. Hey, folks, there we are. We're out of time. May the Lord bless you by his grace. We're back on the air on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.